Conflict. How to handle conflict. James chapter 1, we'll read two verses of scripture, verse 19 and verse number 20. I've only have 2 points in a closing, and we will go through a couple passages of scripture. I've already had a couple people tell me, anyone else say, preacher, I enjoyed the sword drills in our Bible study of the night. Yeah? So we'll do that again here and there and there and yonder once in a while, change things up, do things a little different. I'll bring in, like I did the first Sunday, props on occasion. I should have brought my fishing pole on that one message I preached after the second one, but that's all right. I forgot out of Luke chapter 5. But James chapter number 1, we'll read verse 19 and we'll read verse 20 and we'll move forward tonight. The Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. You write in your Bibles, you make little notes, make sure you highlight that, underline that, and then slow to speak. Those will be the two key things that we use. Slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Bless our time together tonight, though it be brief. Lord, as we move into a financial report, Father, help us to glean a couple things tonight that might help us going forward in resolving conflict, working with others, and seeing things through. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I would imagine to say that we've all have had conflict. We have all had differences. Now, raising a family of six and having 3 girls and a boy, I have had my share of breaking little girls' hearts and teenage girls' hearts and them getting upset with me. So some of this that I'm sharing with you tonight is trial and error from experience because I did not always do it right. And I think we'd all agree that we have made some mistakes. And sometimes our firstborn or the first two are usually the ones that have it the roughest as they are working through those things. Number one, James chapter 1 and verse 19. Tune in. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Tune in. In other words, be quick to listen because you can't understand if you're not listening. And that will help in conflict. It'll help resolve conflict. It'll keep conflict away. But when conflict comes, sometimes we're more concerned about who is right and who is wrong than we are about listening to what others have to say. You see, when you listen, you encourage your spouse, gentlemen, to talk. When you listen, you encourage your children to talk. When you listen, you encourage your friends or fellow church members to talk because we can't talk over one another. When you listen, it helps you to understand. I don't know about you. I need a little noise sometimes when I'm studying in the background. Usually it's music, orchestrated, gospel music, just a variety of things. But there's one thing I've learned. I can't focus if I'm trying to listen to Fox News and study at the same time. Because something's going to come up and get my attention. I can't focus here. And it's the same thing with conflict or communicating with others. Make sure that we listen so we can understand. And then when we listen, it brings us closer together. It allows us to understand that we have empathy toward one another. And it creates a form of intimacy. Here's a couple definitions of intimacy. Something of a personal or private nature. And good synonyms are belonging, chummiest, closeness, inseparable, familiarity, and nearness. And those things allow us to have that relationship, that intimacy as a church family, as a family, or as friends, and only comes when we listen, when we tune in. I've got a few quirks, and you'll learn, and I just do. I'm a little bit, how do I say this? I'm a little bit OCD. Not bad, but some things bother me. I wear hearing aids, and so sometimes it bothers me that they're not right, and instead of fooling with it, I'd rather just take them off and leave them at home and deal with it later, or just change the battery, even though it may not be the battery. But static, when we allow it in, a two-way communication, and it interferes, it distracts us and keeps us from listening. And then on the other end, as far as tuning in and being quick to listen or quick to understand, is that when you don't listen, when we don't listen, we tend to be, or we possibly could become, defensive. We assume we already know what they're going to say. I am guilty of that. Michelle and I have been married so long, sometimes we can finish each other's sentences. But sometimes I'm wrong. And here's what I've learned when I'm wrong: when she's upset. Now remember, me and Michelle never argue. Never. We have intense fellowship on occasion, but we don't argue. But the facts are, if we want to tune in, we want to listen, we need to understand when we're not, we're being defensive. We assume, again, we already know what they're going to say, and we're thinking about, here's the other one, we're thinking about what we're going to say. Now, Michelle and I are getting a little older. And I know we're older than some here, maybe, but we're younger than some. But I've come to the point sometimes that if I listen too intently, I forget what I thought I was going to say. But maybe it didn't need to be said. Or I can make a little note to let her finish and come back a little later. So when you listen, you encourage your spouse, your children, friends, family around you. And when you listen, it helps you to understand. It brings us closer together. It creates intimacy. When we don't listen, we're defensive, or we could become. We assume we already know what the problem is, and often we do not. And we're thinking about what we're going to say instead of listening to those who need to share their hearts. So how do we listen? Observation, consideration, concentration, and clarification. Let me break those down. We know what observation is. Guys, if you haven't figured it out already, sometimes a look on the face will tell you you're in trouble. Consideration. Don't interrupt. Don't interrupt. Goes back to that tuning in. Number three, concentration. Be there. Focus on them. Now, I learned this from my children as a young father. When the girls knew that dad would say no to what they wanted, they waited until I was busy doing something else. You ever got so busy you said, yes, dear? Or, okay, yeah, whatever you want. They knew if I was watching the news, I was watching a college football game, hey, this might be a chance we ask dad now. He'll probably say yes, so we'll go and do our thing. But that's why it's so important sometimes is to turn it off, tune in, and listen what they have to say. Be there. Focus on them. Don't be distracted. Observation, consideration, concentration, and then clarification. Make sure you understand. There's nothing wrong when they're saying is, so if I understand correctly, and then repeat, making sure that you do understand. Tune in. Number two, tone down. That aspect of be slow to speak. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. And there in James 1:19. I'm going to read for sake of time I'll give you time to write them down and then I'll read them. I went ahead and put them in my notes. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You see, much talk may end up leaning toward sin. You know, there's an old saying, I remember this right, weak minds talk about people. But on the other side, as strong minds and those who are willing to do right, we should be talking about what? Ideas. Things that will help one another. Things will help our church. Things is good to talk about, but let's not talk about each other or talk about others. Proverbs 17:27. Proverbs 17:27. Go. No, just kidding. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is off an excellent spirit. Remember the old saying, when E.F. Hutton talks, people, a man of wisdom, a woman of wisdom, Christian of wisdom, people tend to listen because they're not always talking. And I've learned real quick, you let someone talk long enough, especially when they're in trouble, they'll tell on themselves. Wisdom. Proverbs 21:23. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Sometimes there's many things that are better left unsaid. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 3. Ecclesiastes 5:3. For a dream cometh through the multitudes of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. That last phrase is what we're going to hone in on, but just that first phrase talking about, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business. A heavy heart and many concerns will often come with us asleep and maybe cause us to have dreams. But here is referring to that next portion of a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. again, sometimes it's just better to keep it short. Not only do we need to tune in, but we need to tone down. Sometimes too many adjectives could be harsh. And we'll get to that in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's so important. The words we use are important. The words we choose not to use could spare a relationship, could save a friendship. And I know sometimes we let things get ahead of us, our emotions, our frustration, our temper, whatever the case may be. But I've also learned with sincereness, with all sincereness, even when we mess up, our friends, our family, our church family are ready and willing to hear and to forgive. I remember about a year ago, had a gentleman in the church come to me. Right, he caught me off guard. And he's a good man, and I actually preached his funeral about 6 months later. It's only his pastor a short period of time. And he asked me, before he died, I want to arrange my funeral. Pastor, this is what I want. And we talked through it. But he sat about 3-4 rows back in the congregation in the middle of the row. I walked in and greeted Brother Ray and his wife, Miss Dixie, as I always did. And then he reached around, hugged my neck, and he whispered in my ear. He said, Pastor, I'm going to be coming forward in the altar this morning. I've made some mistakes. I need to ask my church family to forgive me. Well, it caught me off guard because I wasn't prepared. I would have liked to have known ahead of time and maybe talk to him. So I know how to handle it. I went to the front row where I always sat, opened my Bible, put a little mark there where I needed to park in the Gospels. We preached the message. Brother Ray came forward, and we sat down in the front row, and I said, well, Brother Ray, before I let you say anything, would you let me know what happened? He says, I'm an alcoholic. I haven't drank for 50 years, but I did last week. My pain was so bad from his cancer and from other things. He says, I went above and beyond medicinal purposes, and it was wrong. And I feel so guilty and so bad about it. So I prayed with him, and he stood up, and he asked the church to forgive him in prayer. His wife was just nervous as she could be. I opened my Bible, and I presented what the Bible says about forgiveness. And we went through the steps, and I looked at the church with many tears across the auditorium. Church family, are we going to forgive our brother? Of course, it was unanimous. And Brother Ray was very sincere. And folks, that type of relationship this way helps us to stay right this way. And that's the time that we need to tune in and tone down. Some have may the visiting, I didn't dismiss everyone. Some may have judged him. Some may not have. But I think at the end, there were many people grateful for the way that it was handled. And that means tuning in, toning down, hearing things out before we make a judgment and know what's going on. Brother Ray is a sweet man. He's about 6'8". Again, as I asked, he asked me to do his funeral. It was a wonderful homegoing. And I tell you what, there's one thing I know that his wife, and he is grateful for, that he got those things settled before the Lord took him home. Folks, if we're going to handle conflict, we're going to avoid conflict, run interference for it, we need to make sure that we tune in, be quick to listen, tone down, be slow to speak, and a couple closing comments and I'll be through. If we're not careful, we can get involved in what I call destructive games that we play. When we don't tune in and tone down, we tend to become or act like the following adjectives. Think about what I say. Let it circle the gray matter a little bit and see if you don't think of, yeah, I've been guilty of that, or yeah, I've seen that done before. Again, we're talking about being critical. We're talking about potential conflicts. If we're not careful, we could become the judge, the dictator, the professor, the critic, the psychologist, the preacher. You know, well, he's preaching to the choir, the historian. See, conflict doesn't have to be contentious. It's okay to agree to disagree. In fact, I think we've got a few Bible examples where two great men had a disagreement and split their ways, and God still used them in a mighty way, and later they came back together and shared some things. but they did it the right way. See, we will never agree on everything, but we can agree to disagree and come to the conclusion that most benefits the family, the congregation, and even the friendship. Through my years of ministry, and as a dad and now a granddad, there have been times where others gave in for me. And there was times where I did the same. And I read a book a long time ago about missions. It was entitled, and I don't agree with the author on everything. I can't remember the author. I'm not endorsing this book, but I'm telling you I remember. It was simply called, Have We No Rights? How often do we demand our rights as compared to what benefits best the family? It benefits my family when we travel to stop when little ones need to go to the bathroom. It benefits my family when I don't park in the left lane when I know somebody needs to go to the restroom. It also helps my marriage. It benefits my family or benefits me when we stop and get gas and go to the bathroom and eat all in one stop. I quit doing that when I left my 30s. But sometimes we choose to do things because it's best for the family unit, whether it be at home, whether it be on the job, or whether it be in a congregation. We don't have to agree on everything, but if we serve together and we see that the majority is moving in this direction and agrees on this, the best thing for those in the minority is to say, well, that's what I thought, but I trust the Lord, I trust my pastor, I trust my church family, and this is the best thing, I'm going to get right in with you and we're going to move in the same direction. If not, we end up playing tug of war. In the church family, no one wins with that. See, it's not about winning or losing. And some of my goals that I will have here as your pastor is one day to be able to look out as we labor and together and pray together and work together is to look out and have to remember and learn more new names because people are coming in. I'm going to look out and I'm going to learn where you sit. Don't move around too much. Remember, I'm a little OCD. But I notice where people are, and when they're not there, I'll ask one of the deacons. I'll ask one of the men. Hey, where was brother so-and-so? Where, you know, it happens. And brother, I missed you and Miss Susan this morning because you usually sit next to us. But I noticed, and others, I notice when they're not there. And we too could do the same thing. Don't leave it all on the pastor. When someone sits next to you, in front of you, behind you, and they're not there, shout out to them the next day that evening and ask them, make sure they're okay. Because they usually sit next to you. They usually sit near you, or you're used to hearing their voice when we have those congregational singing, and you want to let them know that I missed that today. Are you okay? Is there anything I can do for you? If we become a church, and I'm not saying you're not. I need to rephrase that. If we are known and continue to be known as a church who not only loves God but loves people and can adapt the aspect of Jude 22 and some having compassion and making a difference, anyone and everyone who walks through these doors, no matter what their background is or no matter how they're dressed, they should feel welcomed and loved. And the first priority is cleaning the inside and let God take care of the outside. A pace and a process. And we can do that by not letting the little things become a conflict. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for your goodness, your blessings, Father, and the joy it is to serve you. And now, Father, as we begin to transition into a financial report for 2022, Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we move forward, everything would be done in decency and in order, that Christ would be uplifted and Christ would be glorified. And, Father, this is something that I have not been a part of for the year 22, but yet coming in the new year, there'll be some responsibilities that I have as a shepherd and the overseer. So, Father, I pray that this will be done right. It would be done in decency and order. We rejoice in what you have done and pray about some things that we need to work on. And, Father, we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask Brother Rick to come.